What's up, everybody? Mike Florio, Roto Baller here, and today I'm going to talk to you about some outfield sleepers. And outfield is by far the deepest of all offensive positions because, well, there's more outfielders than there are guys at any other position. So a lot of these guys are going to be guys you get in the later rounds of your drafts. These are all guys outside the top 50 outfielders off the board, with one exception, a guy that I like a lot this year. And these are all guys that I am targeting in my drafts and have drafted plenty of as well. So I am listening to the advice that I am giving out here, and I think you guys should too. And starting us off with our first outfield sleeper is Philadelphia Phillies' Andrew McCutchen. McCutchen has an ADP of 224, and he is the 57th outfielder off the board. And that is a discount. McCutchen is a player that I liked coming into the year when we thought that he would not miss any time at the start of the season. And the projections did too at the time. Projections had him for 27 home runs and 8 stolen bases. And then when the reports came out that he was questionable and then expected to miss the beginning of the season, his projections went down and so did his ADP. But now with the delayed start in the season, he has said he expects to be ready to start the season. Even if he's not, I don't expect him to miss long at all. And I think Andrew McCutchen, the price has not caught up with the fact that he probably won't be missing much, if any, time. And the stats are there. He's had a 360 or higher OBP in 3 straight seasons. He is going to lead off for the Philadelphia Phillies. And why is that so productive for fantasy? Well, because leadoff hitters last year averaged 111 runs scored, and the Philadelphia's leadoff hitter combined scored 109 runs. So you see that whoever is leading off on any lineup and in this Phillies lineup, it's going to lead to plenty of runs. He's going to give you that OBP. He's going to give you some power speed. The OBP helps you in points. His strong plate discipline helps you there as well. I got an article on that on rotoballer.com if you want to head over after this video and check that out. But that's going to help him in points. The power speed, that's going to help him in roto. And the fact that he is not going to miss time, but the ADP still thinks he is going to, well, that should be a buying opportunity for you. Andrew McCutchen is one of my favorite sleepers this year. Regardless of format, just across the board, I have drafted him a bunch. Another player that when early drafts were starting, I was pairing these two guys up, but I was taking McCutchen first, and now you don't have to because this player is going ahead of McCutchen, but I still love pairing the two together. And that is Los Angeles Angels outfielder Justin Upton. He has an ADP of 197 as the 49th outfielder off the board. He will be the only name going in the top 50 outfielders that I'm going to discuss today. But this is a case, in my opinion, of a player gets hurt one year and the next year he's a great value in fantasy. I understand that Justin Upton's getting up there a little bit in age, but before last year, and last year was just a lost season altogether, he just came in banged up and could not get right all year. But in the seasons before, the 3 seasons before 2019, he had 30 home runs in each, at least 80 runs in each, 85 plus RBIs in each of those 3 seasons, and at least 8 stolen bases as well. So I call that 4 category production, and he's not going to kill your average either. So I really do like Justin Upton. Last year only played the 63 games, and he is now healthy. But when he was on the field last year, he did also make some improvements. His launch angle did climb dramatically, so he is lifting the ball more. And what I like a lot about him is he's going to be in the middle of the Angels lineup, right behind Rendon, Mike Trout, and Shohei Ohtani. I mean, that is going to be a lot of fantasy production for Justin Upton. And because he was hurt last year, you do not have to pay full price. I think there is still room for him to grow in that investment, even though he is starting to climb up boards a little bit. I still like pairing McCutchen and Upton. I think they are a little bit overlooked because they're more boring veterans. But hey, there's still a lot of value to be had there. And speaking of boring veterans, I don't know if you can be more of a boring veteran than this next guy I'm going to talk about, but he has been a value of mine for a couple seasons now, and that is Shin-Soo Chu. He has an ADP of 235 as the 59th outfielder off the board, so going a little bit after McCutchen and about 10 outfielders after Justin Upton. And what I like about Shin-Soo Chu is I said he has been boring, but he has been reliable. He has hit 21 or more home runs in the last 3 seasons, has scored 83 runs or more in each of those seasons, and scored at least 61 ribbies. And he still has some wheels. He has stolen 12 or more bases in two of the last three seasons, including last season. And the one thing you can never take away from Shin-Soo Choo is his ability to get on base. He can draw walks with the best of them, and he has had a 370 or higher OBP in each of the last two seasons. I understand that there is concerns with the age and with the new Rangers ballpark, but all of those concerns that you have with Chu are tied into his ADP, because if he wasn't an aging, boring player, he'd be going a lot higher for the production that you were going to get out of him. That is what I'm looking for in a lot of these sleepers. I'm just looking for a guy who can return value and a surplus of value, a positive return on any investment you are going to make, and I think Shin-Soo Choo can give you that. Another sleeper I have, and this guy is not a boring veteran, but he is very overlooked, and that is Mark Kahana of the Athletics. He is the 237th player off the board, the 60th outfielder, so literally one outfielder later than Shin-Soo Choo. And let's look at what this guy did in the second half last year. It was pretty impressive. 301 average, 14 home runs, and 3 stolen bases in that second half. On the year, he hit 273 with a 396 OBP. So if you're playing in points leagues, you have to love that. The guy is almost a 400 OBP. He's going to draw a lot of walks. That is going to add up in points leagues where you are rewarded for walks. He hit 26 home runs, 80 runs scored, and a 244 ISO. I mean, to me, the power looks legit. The fact that he's getting on base, that's something that he's done before last year. I buy into that. He had he raised his hard hit rate, and his fly ball rate, and he just missed being in the 40-40 club. He had a 39.7% hard hit rate. If you want to boost that up to 40% round up, then he is a member of the 40-40 club, which, again, is something I created. 40% or higher fly ball rate, 40% or higher hard hit rate. And last year, 13.5% walk rate. Again, that makes you believe that he can maybe not replicate a near 400 OBP, but come pretty close. So whether you're playing in points or roto, I think there is value to be had there, as a lot of people are overlooking the second half, what he did too in August and September. And why is that? Because people's attention shifts away from baseball as we get closer to football. And in August and September, a lot of people are watching the NFL and they're not following closely to what's going on around baseball. So a guy like Kahana who breaks out in the second half, well, there's value to be had there. Another guy that I like at the outfield position, and this is a little bit more in points or OBP leagues, but I still think there's value all around, because this is another player that got hurt last year and people forgot all about him, and that is Brandon Nimmo of the New York Mets. He has an ADP of 371 as the 87th outfielder off the board. I mean, this guy is going purely as a reserve, and it's easy to overlook what he did 2 years ago, because again, last year he missed so much time, but 2 years ago he had a 404 OBP, he scored 77 runs, he hit 17 home runs, and he stole 9 bases. And I think he can duplicate that success this year, because he's an OBP machine. I mean, in his three last MLB seasons, his OBP has never been below 375. So the guy is just, you don't have to worry about the OBP with Nimmo. He will draw walks with the best of them. 17 home runs in this environment. I mean, yeah, that's not great, but it's not going to kill you either. You pair it with 9 stolen bases for a reserve pick, there's value to be had there. And one thing that we saw throughout spring training was Nimmo was constantly hitting leadoff or second behind Jeff McNeil, sandwiched in between McNeil and Pete Alonso. So that leads for a lot of opportunities for him to drive in runs, because McNeil gets on base at a high clip and Alonso can forward to those bats behind him, will drive him in. I think you can rely on OBP, runs, and a little power speed out of Brandon Nimmo. And again, you're getting him as a reserve outfielder. Another outfielder I like is Shogo Akiyama of the Cincinnati Reds. He has an ADP of 263 as the 70th outfielder off the board. So he's going a little bit higher than Nimmo. And this is what ATC projects him for. And ATC last year was the number one rated projection system, so I'm going to trust it. Again, this is over the course of a full MLB season, and we're not going to have that as much. But still, a 271 average, 347 OBP, 13 home runs, 9 stolen bases, 70 runs, and 55 RBIs. That nice little power speed, good average, solid run production, and that is with him in a limited role, which is what a lot of people are expecting him to share at bats out there in that crowded Reds outfield. But if he performs well, there's obviously a path for him to get everyday at-bats in this lineup. And if he does, as the leadoff hitter, I think he can return value. And again, you can get him as a borderline reserve pick. Like, he may be your fifth outfielder or even, you know, one of your first reserve hitters where he is going. Alex Verdugo is an outfielder that I liked, but I was a little bit hesitant at times to draft him because we weren't sure if he was going to be ready for the start of the season with that lingering back issue. Well, now he's getting even more time to rest, and while the Red Sox are saying they're still not sure if he's going to be able to start the season or not, the expectation is he will miss significantly less time now, unless he suffers any type of setback or anything like that. But when Verdugo is on the field, he is plenty productive. Hit 294 with a 342 OBP, 12 home runs, and 4 stolen bases in a limited role with the Dodgers last year, only 377 plate appearances. But the one thing he will show you throughout his major and minor league career is he is not going to strike out. 13% strikeout rate last year. I mean, that is very low. And he will mitigate it even more by drawing walks. And that helps you in a points league, especially on CBS or ESPN, where you will be deducted points for strikeouts. So he helps you a lot in points leagues there. And the fact that he's going to get even more time to heal, I think the ADP hasn't caught up with him. You're already getting a discount as if he's missing time. So that injury discount tied in makes him a worthwhile upside pick in the later rounds of drafts. Another later round guy I like is Franchy Cordero, and he's going very late. He has an ADP of 566 as the 109th outfielder off the board. I was surprised to see it was that late. He is starting to get hype from the fantasy baseball community. He is expected right now to platoon in right field with Will Myers, the two of them, but there is still a chance that Will Myers, I guess, struggles mightily again or is even traded. We know the Padres were trying to find a partner to take on that contract, and they haven't been able to yet, but they clearly want to get Franchy and at least an extended run to see what he is for the throughout the future. And throughout his whole minor league career, this guy has shown the ability to hit for both power and speed. So when we're talking about a guy going this late, again, barely in the top 600 after the top 100 outfielders are off the board, Franchy is pure upside at that point, especially in the power speed. We know he's going to strike out a lot. He's never going to hit for a great average, but the tools are there, and I think he's a worthwhile upside shot later on in drafts. Kevin Kiermaier is an outfielder that I just can't seem to quit. Every year I get enamored by his power speed combo. He won't give you great average. He will, I expect, hit towards the top of the lineup at times for the Rays, which could help you in runs. I also could see him hitting like 7th or 8th in that lineup, which will hurt both runs and RBIs. But the power speed is for real. And he hit 14 homers and 19 stolen bases in 129 games in 2019. And the fact that when he is healthy, he is one of top two defensive center fielders in all of baseball. And that is the premier defensive position in the game. So the fact that his defense is so good and the Rays are a team built around their pitching strength, I expect him to be out there a lot. And that is going to lead him to opportunities to obviously hit home runs and steal bases. And here's the best part, guys. Since they're going so late, you could also pair Manny Margot with him and then just stream the two. Like, if Kevin Kiermaier gets hurt and misses time and they're just using Margot for his defense every day in center field, well, he also has some power-speed combo. So the two together could be a useful piece for both the Rays and your fantasy team. Some other guys that I'm going to run off a little bit quicker here. Sam Hilliard, 35 home runs, 22 stolen bases in AAA last year, and he's going to play half his game in Coors Field. So that you want to get exposure to the Rockies lineup. I understand it's the Rockies. They're hard to trust with giving their young players time to develop, but Hilliard was spectacular in the minor leagues last year. We know the upside he has, and you don't have to take him as anything more than a reserve pick. I like that. Mike Toshman / Clint Frazier, two guys on the Yankees who will compete for some time. Frazier is expected to come up when we thought that Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge weren't going to be ready to start the season, but now it looks like both of them will be. I don't love Frazier in a redraft because of that, but if you're in a draft champions 50 rounds, I still think he's a solid late round pick because I expect the Yankees to either call this kid up and give him at bats this year or to trade him for some depth or another piece that they will need. He is both their best trade asset and their best minor league outfielder right now. I'm hoping that he gets some playing time somewhere there. Ian Happ, you don't have to pay a high price for him at all, but this was once a former top prospect who comes with some, with a lot of power, boatloads of power, and finally he is going to get a crack at getting everyday at-bats for the Cubs. I like him in the later rounds of your drafts. If you're in need of power late, Teoscar Hernandez is a guy I like. I think he can provide lots of power very late in drafts, but he's more of a roto than a points league guy because he's too much of a free swinger. Austin Hayes of the Orioles, he could hit leadoff some days for that team. I think he can give you a good average and lots of runs. Hunter Pence, I know Hunter Pence is a boring veteran, but remember what he did last year and that little bit of opportunity he had before he got hurt? He was lighting the world on fire, and now he's with the Giants, who they do have a lot of mediocre options, but Pence is like a giant legend there, so the chance that he can get everyday at-bats, maybe not to open up the season, but at some point, and he was productive last year, so in the later rounds, we're talking after round 35 in Draft Champions, I have been taking shots on him. And if you're in need of some speed late, you can get Ender Inciarte, who is expected to share time in that now crowded Braves outfield. But the expectation is that he will be their primary center fielder, so he can give you speed there. Billy Hamilton is a name that I have been taking late just because we have heard rumors and there's been reports saying that the Giants are unsure if Billy Hamilton will be their starting center fielder this year. But if not, they're going to use him as that 26th player on the roster, unless we get expanded rosters with this crazy season. They're disgusting. But when they were talking about adding that 26th spot, they were going to use it on Billy Hamilton because he can be an elite pinch runner for them late in games. He could be a superb defensive replacement. And remember, the Giants play in one of the most spacious outfields in all of baseball. So his speed and his defense is very valuable to that Giants team. So I've been taking Billy Hamilton in the late 30s, early 40th rounds, and using him hopefully for just plugging him in sometimes when I need some speed. If he can even give me 10, 15 steals off my bench, that will be very useful. And in points leagues, one name just to keep an eye on, not a name to draft, but Nick Markakis. This is a guy that if he had everyday at-bats, I would be saying he's a top 40 outfielder in points leagues because the guy doesn't strike out a bunch. The guy draws walks. He hits a lot of doubles. He'll drive in runs. He does everything you want out of your points leagues hitters. But now that the Braves outfield is suddenly crowded, he is going to share time. And until he can get an everyday role, he does not deserve to be in your lineup. But if he ever does get that role, look to pick him up. He doesn't have the highest ceiling in the world, but he has one of the safest floors you can imagine. And those are my outfield sleepers. A lot of names I rolled off, all going outside the top 50, except for one. And I hope that these are guys that you like. I hope these are guys that you will start to target in your drafts. And most importantly, I hope these are guys that help lead you to a championship. If you like this video, you could read this, you could watch this and read all my work over at rotoballer.com. And if you want to follow me, you can do so on Twitter at Michael F. Florio. And like always, thank you guys so much for watching.